The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, because these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. As Jesus said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You may be seated. Beware of a theology of adjectives. That was a common phrase one of my seminary professors used to say. And what he meant was, beware those things that try to put an adjective before a topic or word where it shouldn't be. Some examples: dynamic worship, relevant preaching, breakthrough stewardship, missional leadership, contextual study. Now, these are fancy ways of trying to massage or pull the wool over eyes to think there's something that can be added to how God operates, which is to say God doesn't do a good job at what he does, or at least how he says he works. But the old man really likes theology of adjectives, because we think the more you pile on, the better and bigger and more effective something must be. Now, that isn't to say that adjectives don't have their place. Words are used to describe things and where they need to be used and when they speak of Jesus. Isaiah, for example, when we hear those words that we hear during Good Friday and Holy Week, we often talk about the suffering servant. The Lord isn't just a servant, but he's the one who suffered for the sake of his people. And now in today's readings, all three of them, we can rightly use a number of adjectives to describe God's word. It's his effective word, his dynamic word, his sufficient word. But all these things, though, place the emphasis and work where it rightly belongs, God's word. This is because when it comes to God's word, it's more than just some words on a page or verbal syllables traveling through the air. God's word comes from himself, and it does what he sends it to do. He just flat out says that in the reading from Isaiah. We heard in that Old Testament reading, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it." And so likewise, God's word is all sufficient. There's nothing that needs added to it. And it's efficacious. It does something to and for people. So as we think about all this then today, this Sunday of the church year, we hear this in all three of the readings. Last week we talked about salvation by grace alone. And today we see how this is given or distributed through the Holy Scriptures alone, which is to say through God's word. And this is an important thing then for you to consider and take to heart, that God's word is both the substance and the actor in all of this. God works through this means of grace, his word, to deliver to you Christ and his benefits. So let's listen to Jesus. Jesus said in the parable, "And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So considering then this gospel reading today, this text, you first see something, and that's that God preaches to you. And that may sound a bit simple or really kind of a, well, duh, but it's easily overlooked. Because God does preach to you his word in your life. And it's nothing short of miraculous when you think about it. God sends out his word. He accomplishes his purposes, just as that Old Testament reading says. So here Jesus says he sows the seed and he is the one who grants the growth and increase. This is God's work and it's marvelous. But why is it then that we take this for granted? Or we hear his word and it doesn't take root? Well, Jesus warns you by way of the three things when he explains the parable. So Jesus goes on, he says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." So here in this meaning, you can pick your poison, so to speak, when it comes to what happens to the seed in the parable. Despising the word of God takes on many forms, but all of them lead to the same end, destruction. All these reasons where the word of God is trampled, devoured, withered, choked, they make sense. Jesus tells you the seed is the word of God. And those who have heard, when those along the path who heard, the devil comes. He takes these things away. They're caught up in the cares of this life and any number of things. So there's no guessing here or leaving you in suspense of what happens. It's from the very words of mouth of Jesus himself. The devil attacks God's people. The devil attacks the word of God. And people fall away when hard times come because their faith was shallow and just a fair weather faith. There are those who get caught up with the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Their faith takes a back seat to the world and never does anything. It's a dead faith. So all of these, when we hear these, should terrify us when we hear Jesus speak these words. Because we hear them, we look at our lives, we look at the lives of our family, our friends, and we see these things not just a parable heard in church, but as something we see firsthand in our lives. So this is where you see the warning and you examine your life according to what Jesus said. Do you have cares in this life? Are the devil and his minions around trying to choke out your faith in Christ? Are you tempted to ignore God's word and get caught up in what's going on around you? Is this world trying to define how you live your life, or is God's word the lamp that lightens the path on which you walk through this world? As one who is a regular hearer of the word of God, are you tempted to grow complacent and apathetic and view your Christian faith in light of or defined by the fruits rather than the word, such as by experiences it creates in your life, or maybe how a certain passage makes you feel or what you think it should make you feel, rather than looking to God's word regardless of what you may think you get out of it and what response you may have at a momentary instant? Or expand this out corporately as the church. Does the church measure its faithfulness according to its numbers, its preferences, and other factors? Or does it examine itself according to God's word if it is being preached and taught faithfully? So then when you hear this parable every year in the church year, are you excluded from this proclamation? Are you excluded from the warning that Jesus gives? No. So this is where he calls all of us to stay awake, to watch out, and repent. So these warnings are to each of us, lest we become that seed taken away, that falls away from the faith, or simply has a dead faith that doesn't produce, rather just goes through the motions. All of these have the same end, and it's eternally deadly. All of these were warned against. So in the church, you have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. The Spirit has been given to you. And God preaches these things, and you in the Spirit know what God says to you. The words of Jesus to you are the words of the Savior, and you are and have ears to hear. Having ears to hear, then, you listen carefully. You take seriously. You realize and understand that you do need to continually be a hearer of the word of God. You know that when you look at yourself apart from Christ, you see bad soil. You see your life. You see the danger you walk through all the way as the devil is wanting to devour you any way he can. You see the temptation to view your Christian faith not lived in view of and under the cross of suffering, persecution, and daily dying to sin and rising to new life. And you see that God does indeed call you to recognize these dangers. And you are admonished to a faith that doesn't simply sit and let the word of God go in one ear and out the other, but take it to heart and do what your Lord commands as you have been given a new life. And just as Jesus himself said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So learn from this parable this morning about your life in Christ. Seek the things of God as the baptized who heed the warnings of Jesus and who listen to his instruction. Listen again to that last group that Jesus spoke about. Jesus said, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And you see, that's what your life is to look like. Did you catch there too how very different it is from the previous groups that Jesus mentions? Jesus says that they hold it fast in an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart is one that acknowledges and confesses his sin. It's one who's honest about who he is before God. It's one who knows his goodness comes only from the one who alone is good and perfect, Jesus, and knows that God has created in him a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within him. And the good soil, too, bears fruit with patience. Bearing fruit comes from faith that is fed, nurtured, and cultivated by God, who has given this faith through his word. It lives and grows and as it continues to hear God's word and receive his sacraments because it knows this is where salvation is given and where it looks to the sower of the seed. Christ, as Matthew's gospel account of this tells us, for his very life. And all of this is done in patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which suffers, which endures, which is steadfast, knowing that your labor is not in vain, knowing that there is a future glory to come beyond compare. And these fruits then show forth a living act of faith. As this hearer goes home, he talks about these things. He studies, he meditates upon the word of God. He talks about them, what he has heard with his wife, with his kids, his friends and neighbors. Luther's lectures on Genesis, he writes this. He says, "Now when the word is shining forth, we do more good in 1 hour than we did during the entire life in our cloisters." He was contrasting as just sitting and praying in a monastery all day and all that was done. But he's talking about we as Christians hearing the word of God. He said, "For it is the word of God alone that makes learned, ready, and courageous men, men who without any strenuous effort accomplish many things in an admirable manner, while the ungodly, on the other hand, deliberate a long time and yet do nothing right." So the good soil doesn't just hear the word and forget it. It soaks it up as a parched ground, savoring every drop of water to quench it. It confesses this word and his words and actions. It bears fruit because God produces this life, and the mercy of God spills over into the lives of others. God's cup overflows as the Christian forgives and confesses the faith. And this is what Jesus is saying, what he's teaching you today. So he has, who has ears to hear, let him hear. And look at your life. See what describes you. So are you one of the ones being attacked by the devil as he is trying to take God's word from you and letting him do this? Are you one that has heard God's word and now things in your life have happened that are making you want to question it because it's hard to hear about you or your loved one? Has Christ become old news to you? Have you gone through times of trial and suffering so that now you think you are entitled to be the one to tell God how things are going to be? Is this what the Christian life, as God's word teaches you, would rather seek something that would make you happier or let you live the way that you want? Are you holding fast to God's word and an honest and good heart? So think carefully about all of these things this morning. And come running back to Jesus, the one who offers forgiveness and does forgive you and gives you mercy and peace. And so, dear saints of God, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the Word of God incarnate, who came down to this world in order that he would give up his life for you to have life. He, the seed of the woman, promised in Genesis 3:15, is the one who has done this for you. And Jesus said in John 12, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And so Jesus has lived, he has died, he has risen, and you are given the fruit of his labors. You have this now, and the Lord showers it upon you in this place. He is good, and his word to you is one of comfort and peace. The sower is here, this very instant, and he scatters out the seed, saying, your sin is forgiven. Hearing this word in your God-given faith, have no fear. Rejoice, for God shows you mercy in Christ, and he speaks to you. Know this full well, what your Lord has accomplished and that in your salvation. Have no doubt that he has done it for you and that it's yours. It is yours. It really is. Nothing else is needed, even in those times in your life when you may be sitting here and wondering what the point is, or maybe even beginning to wander off in your thoughts. The Lord is still here. He's here with healing. He's here with consolation. He's here with peace. He speaks his word to you and has given you his scriptures so that you would be saved eternally, and so you are his own. And God's word is all sufficient. It makes divinely sure to you as you go through this world. He does what he says in his word, and he is the actor. He's the one doing the work in your life. The Holy Spirit is alive and active as you gather here and go from this place, even as he has called you by the gospel, as he has gathered you into his church, as he has enlightened you with God's wisdom and sanctified you as a new man in Christ. All of this has been done for you, and you have the fruits of this in your life that sprout and bear abundant fruit. This is God's living and active word for you, and those are adjectives to rejoice in, because it means you have certainty knowing God is at work and knowing that he is in your midst doing what he promises. What a joy to hear all of this today and to know that God's care for you is true, it's faithful, it's sufficient. He never leaves you. He never leaves you lacking when it comes to the things of your salvation. Have confidence and trust God's word, which tells you that if God is for you in Christ, then who can be against you? And he is. He's for you in Christ. He is crucified for you. And with this faith, you stand up against sin, against death, against the devil, and you have the victory of one who knows the sower, even as you are a laborer in his vineyard. And there's rest in all of this too. The Sabbath rest in the epistle reading belongs to you as a baptized child of God. For the Lord of the Sabbath is yours, and you look forward to that eternal Sabbath of life everlasting. God is showering this upon you fully and freely. Cling to his word in a steadfast faith. Rejoice in what your Lord has done and know it all belongs to you. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall bring forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall be not cut off. That's yours. That's yours now, and that's the future, just as God's word promises you. You shall go forth in joy. You shall be led forth in peace. These are the things that God promises you. That's his word that he's giving to you today. So take comfort in all of this morning, for Jesus is the sower of the seed. Look to him alone. Cling to him, because he is the one who didn't fall into the temptations of the devil. He was not snatched up and withered away. He is the one who is the very word of God made flesh, who is never complacent, but set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. And when those times of trial and the cares of this life came, he was faithful, and even amid great suffering. He is the one who has done it. He is the one who says it is finished, and it's all for you. Hear as you have been given ears to hear, and as Jesus is crucified for you and proclaims to you that you are forgiven and have eternal life. Baptized into Christ, this is all yours. Hear his word, knowing that the secrets of the kingdom of God are yours. Feast at his supper and find rest and rejoice in Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, who sows the seed of the word in your life, who accomplishes what he sends it to do. And he has. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You have eternal life. You have ears to hear. Hear this, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.